We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We have wild and crazy bids on some rookies. We have the Reds throwing a no-hitter and losing the game. All coming up next on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Happy Sunday night, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Scott Jensen, joined as always on Sunday nights by Jeff Erickson. You can please rate and review the podcast. We greatly appreciate that. It goes a long way towards helping us out, helping people find the podcast, etc. If you are joining us live on one of the live mediums, definitely say hi in the chat. We're happy to answer some questions for you or engage there. We appreciate everybody that's listening. We appreciate them just watching. Jeff, how are you? I apologize for the red shot there, but how am I not going to take a shot when you throw a no-hitter and lose?
I know. Well, put it on a plate. Everyone will miss. Reds, Pirates, everybody. Oh, God. So Reds. It's the most Reds result of the year so far. What did Hunter Green ever do to deserve being a Red? Right. I don't know, man. He shouldn't have, the thing is, they should have yanked him after the first walk. If they should have even allowed him to pitch the eighth at all.
So he got the out, then he had two walks, and the third walk was another guy, right?
Art Warren, yeah. Okay, that's right. Their so-called best reliever. So,
and then Fielder's Choice scored the run, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
if you could sum up a Reds game in the first month of the season, that'd pretty much be it.
Yeah, and I read a report, and I don't even know if it's true, that – I didn't notice that the Reds didn't have anybody warming up to start the eighth, which is, if true, is just insane.
That's brutal.
I don't think it's true, but
you figure like, cause he had definitely taken him out after one hit, right? Like,
yeah, I would have taken him out after the first walk. I just really would. I mean, he threw 118 pitches and That's maybe if you're Justin Verlander and you're throwing 118 pitches, it's one thing. It's Hunter Green, who's throwing 102 miles an hour, and he's 21 years old, and he's already had Tommy John surgery once. And yeah, you take him out.
And certainly have to have somebody ready in case the first guy gets a hit in the first at bat. Like, you want to get him right out of there. If true, that is definitely wild right there. But there was a lot going on in baseball this week. I feel like a lot of people talking on Twitter, it was kind of the give back week. A lot of these we had so many pitchers that were just rolling through with good ERAs. We had Carlos Rodon tonight. We had Tyler McGill. Ooh. A lot of guys just got smoked this week. I think Phil Dussault, the main event champion last year, posted something like ERAs by week in the NFBC, and this was definitely the highest one. I don't know if that's weather warming, or maybe undeadening the ball a little bit, but I don't know what it is. But a lot of those pitchers that everybody's kind of rolling in with had some bad weeks. A lot of guys go on the IL today. It was kind of a crazy day.
Yeah.
But should be fun. There's a lot of baseball to talk about. But let's take a look ahead. Let's take a look at week seven a little bit. Another really busy week. I think we're seeing now the kind of the effects of them missing that first week of the season where a lot of the makeup games are happening. We have three teams with eight games this week. I think it's the White Sox, Kansas City, and Arizona all have eight games. So we're seeing a lot of doubleheaders. And again, these are full nine-inning doubleheaders. So we're not getting the shortened games like we had last year. We have 13 teams with seven or more games. So there's a lot of games going on this week. Should be a fun week. There's a lot of action across the league.
Yeah, there is. Our ace took 4 out of 5 from Detroit. Looked pretty good. And then walked off Raisel Iglesias in the first game of the doubleheader on Saturday.
Yeah.
Barrera. Yeah.
Luis Barrera. That was fun. That was they had 9 games a week. They won 5 of them. I would have taken definitely would have taken the under on that. They're still not very good, but at least showing a little bit of life. That series in Detroit was pretty good. I would not feel good if I was a Tigers fan, though. That is that's a rough situation right now. For a team that we thought maybe would sneak into contention, they're 12-23.
And that's what's sweeping the Orioles this week.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is just wild. It's really pretty bad to see some of the offense at the issues that they've had so far. But hey, maybe signs of life that, hey, you're that bad and you got the Orioles walk in and get swept by them. So maybe there's some, there's just a lot of bad teams in baseball.
How about the NL West on the flip side, though? Not a team under 500. That's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah. And the Diamondbacks having a winning record. I mean, I don't know if they still do. I know they did.
They do. They're 18-17.
Okay. So there you go. Pretty, pretty impressive there. There, and it's the pitching. The pitching is really good. It's been a lot better. And Brent Strom has gotten the appropriate amount of love. They poached him from the Astros. I don't know what was going on, because why would he ever leave the Astros unless it's just a lot of money or something like that? Or maybe he's going home. Maybe like Derek Johnson going to the Reds. But, very impressive. The NL West is loaded. Although the Dodgers had to – have a miracle win today.
That close. Yeah, they almost got swept.
Yeah, by the Phillies. So, yeah. But you know what? Teams go through ebbs and flows like this.
Yeah.
The Dodgers lost like 4 in a row at one point last year. They lost 7-8 at one point. They're really good. The Giants won 6 in a row and then lost the last 2 and got handed it to them tonight.
Carlos Rodon, who had been just nasty, finally gave it up. He gave a big way, 8 earned runs. Like he gave it all back. It's funny how you were still in the season. We look at someone, Rodon, who's been unbelievable, and you look up and now his ERA is 3.5 just based on one start.
Yeah, exactly. Things can change, but also over time it'll recorrect in the good way there too. If he gets on track too, so it's just one bad outing. It sucks when you get that there. Yu Darvish had one of those early. McGill, as you mentioned, 8 runs in an inning and a third. That leaves
ERA
a mark.
Yeah, his ERA is like 4.4 or something like that after being really good all year. And you just get the one, you go 8 earned runs in an inning and a third. It just blows up.
Did you cut him this week?
No.
In the case of Tyler McGill. I did in one league. Oh, at least I attempted to.
What size league did you do that in?
I think it was yogurt. I got to double check.
Of the theory that he's going to miss more time than we think?
It's an arm injury. Yeah. And it clearly affected his performance. I was unable to cut him. I only picked up 2 players. So I did drop Loaisiga and Andrew Heaney. I know Heaney may come back at some point, but I can always bid on him if I need to. Sometimes you just need the spot.
But McGill's mom tweeted that he's fine.
Yeah,
I laughed. Yeah, I mean, I read the news and I it was positive enough that I was going to give him a week. I think I'm a big fan of his, though. I want to see. I'm going to give him a week and see what we're looking at here. So I was in the spot where I deemed it to cut him. I only have him. I have him to both my online championships. So I was kind of easily able to get somebody get into lineups there. But I'm not going to give it too long. But I'm going to give another week here. See if we get some news. It sounds like he's going to be shut down for throwing for a few days and then kind of reevaluate. If they're like, we're giving another 2 weeks, then maybe I think about it. But for the moment, I'm keeping. But definitely on watch, I would say.
Yeah, that's right. It was an online championship, and in Scarf is where I have McGill, and was not able to cut him in any of those things. So I know people are waiting with bated breath on that, but
you are.
Yeah, McGill and Luzardo, Jesus Luzardo, both these are big velocity gainers that went down with arm injuries, and that's always something I'm worried about.
And Luzardo is the dreaded forearm strain that usually never leads to anything good, and it's like. It sounded like I think Craig Mish, who has is really good with the Marlins stuff, like he's really an insider there, tweeted that he didn't think it was that bad. But I don't have him in any FBC leagues. I probably would have thought about it, but maybe would have held on for a week. So I didn't have to make the decision. So I can't really speak to it. But forearm strains, we've seen it 9 million times, usually don't end up very well.
No, they do not. And I'm double checking to see if I've got him in any of those. I don't have him in any of the NFBC platform leagues either. So. I don't think I have. I think Luzardo I might have in one like Yahoo League. That's it. But
Someone was asking the chat as we're talking about guys who are struggling or had a rough week. Marcus Semien, we talked about him a little bit last week, but another week with no home runs. Like it's crazy that we're at the point. I mean, I know we're still early. We talk about getting things move up and down, but we're still May 15th and Semien's at 154 with no home runs. Like, it's crazy. He's striking out less too, so that's not a problem, but he's not hitting the ball hard. He's swinging and missing more. Hard hit rate is at 27%. Like, that's among the, you know, the kind of guys who steal bases and do nothing else, kind of some of these rabbits that don't hit the ball hard. 27% is really low.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like he's getting robbed by the, I think it was Razzball that called it the wet paper bag ball.
I did like that. It's a good alternative to happy fun ball right there.
Yes, it is. Yeah. He can't blame that though. I really feel like he's pressing to try to justify the contract. I do see that happen frequently. I don't think he's lazy. I think he's just trying too hard. But
and he did it before. Like in 2020, he was up for a contract and pressed like the entire year. And it was, you could just see it on his face. And I don't watch obviously as much Rangers as I do A's, but you could see it that he was pressing that year. But then last year, I mean, he's playing for a contract and, you know, was an MVP candidate. So I don't know. But you look at hard hit rate and he's eighth worst in the entire league right now of guys who are qualified at bats. Jeff, do you know who's number one in least amount of or lowest hard hit percentage? Kind of funny because there's a lot of talk about him in the offseason, and I told people not to draft him, so I feel good about this one.
It's got to be Victor Robles then.
Well, he's always bad at this. No, Tony Kemp, 14%.
Oh, yeah.
Just
nice guy, good human being, and a lousy fantasy player.
Great guy, great teammate. Everybody likes him, but like the stuff of like, oh, he's leading off, he can't not be good. Like, he just can't hit the ball very well. I mean, he's under 20% hard hit rate in 4 or 5 years. That's pretty hard to do.
Yes, it is.
But nice guy. I get it, but it's been really rough. I'm seeing him cutting a lot of 15-teamers. But looking ahead at Week 7, there are some teams with some really good schedules. We have the Rockies that are home all week, and it seems like, at least over the weekend, Coors Field was a little bit back to being Coors Field. The Rockies and Royals had some wild games. Today was another one. Rockies were down 6-0, scored 7 runs, and then Daniel Bard, who's been great, finally gave it up in the 9th. But it's been a little bit of a old school Coors this weekend. There was a 14-11 game. The Rockies have they host the Giants and the Mets. They're facing 4 righties and 2 lefties. I just saw some, and I kind of was in on some Sam Hilliard love. You know, he's facing 4 righties this week, but it seems like maybe we're getting a little bit of a Coors offense back.
Yeah, is it? The conspiracy theorist in me thinks that MLB quietly slipped back some of the old balls and didn't tell anybody, which is something they would totally do.
It's funny because like some games it looked like, I forget who it was, but someone had a home run. I can't remember. I think it's maybe Gleyber Torres had a home run. I'm like, oh, there's no way that's out. And I'm like, oh, that looks like the old ball. But then you get a ball to like smoked in the outfield. So maybe there's a mixture of
Yeah, the Avisel Garcia one was the wet paper towel.
That's the one.
Ball.
Yeah, it looked like that was going like 430 and it just landed in the first row. So, I don't know. It's one of those things that I've stopped trying to figure out. I'm just trying to do the best we can with it.
Yeah. One of the ones that was actually a homer was Yonder Alvarez. And against the Twins, he hit a ball to center.
Did you just call him Yonder Alvarez?
Yes, I did, didn't I? God. All right.
Somewhere Yonder Alonso is fired up that you still think about him.
Yordan Alvarez, professional podcaster that I am, hit a ball to center field. It did go out, cleared the fence, but every beat writer was like, dude, that should have gone 450. And it barely cleared. And
I was watching that game and he hit that. And I'm like, oh, that's gone. And I was like, oh, I can't believe that barely cleared the fence with a guy who's a massive, you know, top 10, probably in pure power. And it was like, I couldn't believe it. It didn't go further.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, he's got 11 homers. He's fine, but still it just illustrates that there's still some improvement still left.
He rakes, by the way. I love Yordan.
Oh, it's so fun. We both have him in our Vegas mains. I wish I had him in both.
One of those guys where, like, if he hits a fly ball well, you're like, oh, that's gone. And it's just like, no, there's no in between there at all. It's usually good as gone. I apologize to our friend Anthony Gialli for besmirching Tony Kemp, but just one of those things that happens.
Such a besmircher.
Such a besmircher. We got some other teams with good schedules. I really like the Cubs this week. I was looking at some Cubs there. They have 7 home games, 3 against Pittsburgh, 4 against Arizona. Got to like those matchups. The Dodgers have 4 against Arizona, 3 at Philly. It'll be interesting to see them go to Philly after struggling with the Phillies this week. The White Sox have 8 games. We talked about that. 5 at Kansas City, 3 in Yankee Stadium. Got a chance for a lot of offense this week, Jeff. It'll be a fun one.
Yeah, the Dodgers could stand to have a couple fewer games right now with all their pitching injuries. They have 30 games in 31 days. Oof. And yeah, losing Kershaw was just a big, big blow to them. I mean, you know, the risk came with the territory. That's why he got a 1-year deal. But Hate seeing it anyhow. It's just bad for the game when it happens. But yeah, they're pressed right now. The kid they started today didn't do so hot. And you know they're going to be up against it for a while.
Do you have any concerns about Buehler or Julio Urias at the moment? Off a couple of rough starts.
My better of the two main event teams has Urias, and he and Eric Lauer were just having a contest of who could give up more homers.
Yeah.
And I think Urias won, but I did not expect it. But then again, Philly's lineup rakes.
It does.
You when everybody's healthy and everybody's on as they were this weekend, and it was really hot this weekend in LA too.
Yeah.
The ball's going to fly. And
pretty impressive what Bryce Harper's doing.
Oh my gosh.
Torn UCL that he had the PRP injection today. But you talk about a season where it's sure as a damn good thing the Phillies have the DH, because Bryce Harper would be on the IL if not for the DH right now.
Yep. It's true.
He'd not be playing. He's having a really good year right now. And you're right. I mean, that lineup, when it gets going, I mean, they keep coming at you. And even Gene Segura's hitting really well. Alec Bohm's over 300. Segura, I think, had 3 home runs and 3 stolen bases this week. Like, you talk about a speed power week. Like, that's a huge one right there.
Yeah, it's massive. You know, if they can get everyone rolling at the same time, it's just crazy. Like, Real Muto really hasn't even gotten on track yet.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And but Hoskins has had his moments. Schwarber's had his moments.
This week was huge for Hoskins, which I needed badly because he had
it's
not
huge for
done
the Phillies.
Much.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He just makes their lineup so much longer when he's hitting well. Like they go like 6 or 7 deep now, whereas they were kind of 4 or 5. And it's they're a team that if we get in the summer here in pitching matchups, like they're a team that I'm not going to want a piece of throwing my starters against.
Right now, their bullpen still is an issue. That's still the problem for this team, I think.
As we saw today with Corey Knebel, who was horrible on Friday and got out of the inning. He loaded the base against the Dodgers, and then today he gave it up to Gavin Lux. So he did not have a good weekend.
It was Thursday that it was horrible.
Oh, it was Thursday. That's right. 4-game series. You're right.
Friday was like umpire atrocity day. I don't know if you remember seeing that game. The Trey Turner at bat to end of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Two pitches that were just not even close. They started outside and moved farther outside. They're breaking pitches away, and there's no excuse to call them strikes except for the dump wanted to get home. And I hate to say that. I'm not a Dodgers fan, so I'll say it. It was an atrocity, and it changed. And then he grounded out to end the game on a pitch that was even farther out because he had to swing.
Right.
And
yeah, fully changes that bats, and you just—it's funny because sometimes you see like stuff online, like I can't really call this a strike or a ball, and you're like, oh, it's close enough. But then you get some plays where you're just like, not even close.
Yeah. Sometimes you can explain it like, oh, like tonight, Yadi stole a strike. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
It happens. This was, Real Muto even like was like, oh, okay, I guess, or something like that. You could tell he stole it, but he didn't really steal it. I mean, it was obviously a ball.
Yeah, no, I hear you there. There's been a few of those so far this year. Mm-hmm. A couple of good schedules before we move on to Fab. The Mets I like this week. They're 4 against St. Louis, then 3 in Coors Field. Mm-hmm. The Astros, who are just a machine right now. They're a really, really good team. Justin Verlander might be the best pitcher in baseball at the moment. They are 3 at Boston, 4 against Texas. Got to really like that for Astros bats this week too.
Yeah, and the Astros' arms are just rolling right now. Christian Javier got hit around. He was the one guy that got hit this weekend. He was pretty bad, but Verlander's great. Luis Garcia is just rolling right now.
I like Luis Garcia a lot.
Urquidy, he needs to. Urquidy's kind of a weak link. He pitched well, but then got rained out. He only pitched 3 innings last time because of the rain in Minnesota. But they need to get him on track. Framber Valdez is not allowing any hard contact. It's a really strong rotation.
Jake Odorizzi has given up 1 run his last 18 innings too.
Yeah. Well, like, interesting.
What's going on?
3 games at Boston to start the week, and Boston's woken up at the plate. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that should be a fun series now that, like you said, Boston's woken up a little bit. But
whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifydhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's jump into Fab. It was a big Fab weekend. There was a lot of bids, a lot of money out there. It's the first week, I think, where you know you got multiple bids in three digits kind of across every single league. And you know, every once in a while you see some stuff here and there, three or four bids. But it seemed like every single league had some big bids. The biggest one was on George Kirby. I think I saw someone tweeted there was an average winning bid was 340 on Kirby across the NFC main events. So kind of in that range we talked about him a little bit last week because I know he pitched last week but wasn't eligible in NFC, eligible in other leagues. But you and I kind of talked about, I think we kind of came in the 300 to 400 range and it kind of landed there. He didn't pitch great this week. He only had one strikeout to start, but you know, still looked pretty good, was throwing hard.
He only had one walk too. So yeah. He threw 60 of 89 pitches for strikes.
Yeah.
He only had 7 swing and misses. I think that's just because he was facing the Mets.
Yeah. I think you're just saying, because if we had like another, you know, an 8 strikeout game, I think the prices would have gone even higher. So maybe he kept it in a little bit of a range. How did you treat Kirby this week? Did you have teams where you need pitching and you decided to go for it? What was how much did you bid, but what was your strategy with Kirby this week? How aggressive were you and your general thoughts on, attacking like this one big pitcher going for a huge
price? I was only aggressive in two leagues, one online and in yogurt. Other leagues, I was just doing keep them honest bids. And one of my two mains, he went for a reasonable price, went for 257 with a runner up of 209.
Oh, that is pretty reasonable. Yeah.
And the other main event, he went for 511.
Oh,
with a runner up of 327. Wow. I think the answer here for the most part is how do you think the ball is going to be the rest of the year? Because if you think the ball is going to be the deader ball for the rest of the year, then you don't really want to go crazy spending on Kirby, because you can find Jose Quintana with two good starts last week. Or, you know, 2 weeks ago, Eric Fede had two good starts.
Jake Odorizzi, we just talked about, had two shutouts last week and people picked him up. So how do you feel about Kirby in terms of like innings pitched, in terms of actually, do you think they'll be really good innings? Because my biggest concern was how much he's going to throw. Like, I just don't know. Sure. He's thrown, 34 and two thirds so far across AA in the majors so far this year. Like, does he get up to 100? Like, I can't imagine him going much higher than that. He threw, 67 and two thirds last year in 2021. Right. Obviously he didn't pitch in 2020, at least in terms of, you know, on our screens or on our stat boards. I just wonder if like we're looking at like a cap of 100, and then I felt like it was a little bit tougher to bid the $400 on him. I was definitely in on him. I'd like to get him where I needed pitching. I think I was in the high 100s, low 200s, which was like you said, I keep him honest, but I probably wasn't gonna get him. But I wanted to be in on it. I was a little bit worried about the innings. I think that I would probably, if I could go deep and heavy on someone, I think it'd be Max Meyer over Kirby.
When he
comes up.
I mean, the thing is, you get Kirby now.
Yeah.
And
we can't, you're right. We could be longer on Meyer. I don't think we're that long on Meyer. I mean, he might come up this week now that Lizardo's out of the rotation, but it seems like they're going with Cody Petit at least up right now. But
they also have Edward Cabrera though too.
So that's true.
It's not a given that it's Meyer. I think it should be. Keep in mind too the Marlins schedule. They play six this week. The following week they play five.
So they may not even need to bother then.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. That's why they're kind of maybe they're although Elisa Hernandez really could go now.
I don't know if I, it's funny, like you, I tried to drop Eliezer. I don't know if I did in the minute. I had like eight conditionals. I think I might not have ended up dropping him.
It's a pretty big waterfall you got there.
I had a big waterfall and he was my second drop. I want to drop him and Mitch Keller. Oh, I did drop him. I got Felix Bautista, it looks like, for a little closer spec.
So in terms to your question though, about how many innings Kirby throws now, do they restrict him by going six-man rotation, or do they restrict him by having him throw fewer innings? Do they skip him when they have off days? I mean, I wonder how they treat it. I the Mariners are in a position where they're playing catch up a little bit because the Astros look great and the Angels don't look like they're going away anytime soon either. I know there's expanded playoffs, but it's not that far expanded. There's no time like the present for the Mariners. They had such a bad 10 days prior to this weekend against the Mets that I think that I don't think they can afford to be too judicious in terms of resting Kirby. I don't know. It's just, that's just me, but it's not like Chris Flexen's throwing a ton of great innings right now either. Yeah.
And it's funny because the three different ways they could do that, if they go six man, that's pretty workable for us fantasy wise. Like if he gets regular starts every seventh day, we can deal with that. Mm-hmm. If he goes short innings, that makes it really tough. If he gets skipped randomly, we don't know about it, that makes it really tough too. So it just how they decide to strategize that alters like his fantasy value in a pretty big way.
Right. So I think right now they have a stretch of games where they don't have an off day until next week, deep into next week, I think Thursday next week. So, and right now they're running with a five man. Maybe they will just have them go five or six more often than not. Excuse me. I think didn't he go four against the Mets? That's a problem.
Yeah, he went four against the Mets.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It is because it makes it really hard. I mean, obviously wins are one of the four starting pitcher stats. And if he goes four, you can't ever get any of those. Yeah. I mean, he only gave up three hits. Like we talked about.
He threw 89 pitches. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. It's not like they were like, okay, 60 pitches and you're out like the Tigers last year.
Yeah. He threw six innings the first start out. So I think that they've been okay with that. You're right. The pitch count was just elevated in that one, but the bids were crazy. They were high. I think that he's at Boston this week, which should be an interesting and fun start. You mentioned the Boston offense waking up a little bit. Second prize seemed to be Kyle Bradish in Baltimore off the really good start this week. He looked really good this week, and he was throwing hard. There were a lot of clips of him, really spotting his fastball, throwing really hard. It was against St. Louis. He had 11 strikeouts across seven innings. Were you in on Bradish? What'd you do on this one? Because you felt like he was if you didn't get Kirby, maybe you dropped into Bradish. He was rostered in a lot of 15-teamers and most of the 12-teamers he was available.
I was not in on Bradish. Maybe I should have been. I saw it when you put his name on the outline. I was like, Oriole starter.
Yeah. Although Oriole starter's been pretty good this year.
Yeah, I know they have, but I mean, how many wins are you still getting out of that?
Not many.
He is getting Ks. I will grant you that. Maybe I should have been more in on him than I was.
And has a history of getting Ks. He was a 27% strikeout guy in 2019 in single A.
Yeah.
And last year he pitched triple A, threw 86 innings, 28% strikeout rate too. The walks are a little bit high there. They're down this year. Obviously, it's only 32 innings, but I just saw strikeout upside. I saw the swing strike rate was like over 11% in the minors. Mm-hmm. He had 11 strikeouts against the Cardinals. I thought he had a little bit of upside arm. I was actually outbid. I went aggressive. I thought I was going to outbid on Kirby and get Bradish, and I was going to be okay with that. I went 112, I think, in the main event. I actually got outbid on that. So even when I go aggressive, I seem to get outbid, Jeff.
Yeah, well, hey, you're in the wrong league then. You know, funny thing is, like, Bradish was picked up long ago, or not long ago, but the week before in both of my mains.
Yeah.
So yeah, he wasn't even available.
He was like 70% rostered going in the 15-teamers.
Yeah. So that's why I really wasn't on him, I guess. But I wasn't on him anyhow. I didn't get to watch that start against the Cardinals. I wish I would have. Maybe I would have been a little bit more excited about him. The big second starting pitching wise, in one of my leagues, Kyle Hendricks was dropped. and picked up, obviously, for $77 by Matty Wood. So another guy I was trying to find to see if he was available was Jeffrey Springs. He was available. I didn't get him, at least in the two mains. I did get him in, like, I think in a secondary league. But the thing about Springs is just depth. How deep is he going to go into games? But there's an opportunity here with the Rays. And if they're working on building him up, he could be this year's Rasmussen.
I have no idea how the Rays keep winning games.
They do, though. They run prevention.
Every time when you look, you're like, oh, they don't look that great. Their run differential is -1 right now, and they're 21-14. They just – it's weird. They just – and it's – I'd be like, oh, that's kind of fluky, but they do it every single year. They just find a way to win games and cycle guys through, and it's wild there. It's funny you mentioned Hendricks. I was just thinking in my head, I don't know what I would have done if he was available in one of my main events. I can't figure out if I want him, don't want him. You look at – I mean, you're not going to get strikeouts. The walks are elevated from last year. I don't think I really would have been in very heavily on that.
Yeah. I
find it hard to trust him. Like, if I'm setting my line stars, I'm like, do I want to throw high Kyle Hendricks? And I don't know how good I'd feel about it every week.
I used to be a big Kyle Hendricks apologist, and now I'm kind of like, you know how they're, you know, sometimes reformed whatevers are more annoying. I think I might be that way with him just because of the strikeouts. I don't know. I got burned pretty hard last year, and I could be wrong. He pitched a gem this weekend. This week against the Padres, I think.
It sure feels like for a guy who's kind of like supposed to be like kind of rock solid and boring, that it seems like he throws gems or gets lit. Like it feels like there's no image. Maybe just the stuff is so like on the line where it's like he's so close to being good or so close to being bad that when he's on, he's great. When it's not, it's hard for him to get around with the lack of velocity and all that.
I mean, isn't that just a function of like a guy that puts the ball in play a little bit more often? You're prone to the vagaries of BABIP. And it's not just BABIP. It's, exit velocity, defense, et cetera.
When you throw 89 and you're not totally on with everything, it's just you're going to get hit pretty hard.
Yeah. The last two have been great. You know, he was good again this weekend against Arizona after being good against San Diego earlier in the week.
Yeah.
But in his last five starts, four of them, he struck out two batters.
Yeah.
Two.
It's hard to throw that in weeks when he only has one start. It's just like – it's so hard to go in there getting three or four strikeouts. You're like, you're just behind the eight ball when the week starts.
Yeah. If on a team that's not that great either. I mean, the Cubs aren't, they're not Reds bad. They're not Pirates bad, but they're still bad.
They are not good. What is their record anyway? They're 13-20. They're pretty darn bad.
Yeah.
That's not even A's bad. That's the A's are better than them.
Our A's. Yes. So bad. No.
Speaking of the A's, this week, Chase Silseth, the first guy from the 2021 June amateur draft to make it to the majors. Wild, because he's an 11th rounder.
Like, right.
You would just never, you're always like, oh, you know, one of the top guys going to get up quickly. But 11th rounder, throwing hard, looked good against the A's, faces the A's this week. Saras had a tweet yesterday talking about how his stuff plus his metric that he uses looked good, and talking about how good he looked, and he looked pretty legit. Were you in on Silseth at all? It's a really hard name to say.
Yeah, I was. I got him in AL only Tout Wars.
Oh, that's probably a good league to get him in.
Yeah, especially because he gets a start against our A's this week, and I kind of view him as a disposable pitcher. I'm going to use him this week. We'll see how it goes. I'm not going to get too married to him, but because the following week he gets Toronto. Now, Toronto is in a bad way right now.
They've been slumping for like almost like 2 weeks. Like, the offense has been rough.
But I don't think – I'm not buying that being their level. That's the problem.
Nor am I. Nor do I want to throw a rookie in his third start ever against that offense.
Correct. But, yes, I am – intrigued with him this week, and then we'll move on from there.
Some of the guys out there in deeper leagues who have two starts, we've got speaking of in Oakland, we have our boy Zach Logie. I don't even know how to say his name. That's terrible. He was one of the guys that they traded for in the offseason. He's 26, pitched really well in his first start. Wade Miley, an old friend of yours from the Reds days, he has a two starts this week. I wasn't interested, and then I looked, and it's Pittsburgh and Arizona. Like, it's tough to get too much better than that on paper. Were you in any of the two-start guys this week, either Logie or Miley or anybody else that piqued your interest that has two starts this week?
I just want to be able to say Logue. Logue.
Is it Logue?
I don't know. I'm just saying that.
He's on the A's, and I was watching that game, but I just never paid attention to what the A's announcers were calling him. But he's at Minnesota and at L.A. Minnesota is kind of workable. At L.A. scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, I don't really want to touch that. I actually was in on Miley.
Taylor Ward hasn't made an out in like 3 months, so it's always troubling when you got to deal with Taylor Ward and like all the lesser guys in his team, like Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani.
Classic tactical error to load the bases for Taylor Ward.
The guy is raking. Like I can't make fun of Joe Maddon for saying he's how good he is anymore, because the guy's been awesome.
Yeah, I was in on Miley, but man, that line from his first game was scary. Five walks, 1K.
He always scares me. And I looked at the matchups. I'm like, okay, maybe. And then I couldn't get there. I couldn't find myself stomach doing it.
I think I got him in scarf.
I know it's Pittsburgh and I know it's Arizona. I know they're both home starts, but I couldn't quite get there, and I may regret it. He was really good. He was really good last year, right? Was that last year with the Reds? He was good.
Yeah, he was their highest WAR pitcher.
Oh, might say more about the Reds than does about me, but he had 3.37 ERA. So let's not. I mean, he was good in that. The WHIP was 1.33. So that's
scary. The Reds non-tendered him though. By the way, non-tendered. They didn't want to pay like even the $1 million thing to not pick up his option. They non-tendered him. Anyway.
Oh, Reds. Last guy I want to ask you about. Yusei Kikuchi was available in about more than half of the 12-teamers in the FBC. He's 47% rostered there. Someone who started out the year rough has turned it around a little bit. His last couple starts, he has 7 strikeouts in each of those across 11 to 3rd innings, only 3 earned runs. Are you back in on Kikuchi? Now, you and I both liked him last year, and it got a little ugly later in the year and started out the year gross, but last couple starts have been good. Are you buying any of this Toronto has figured out what they need to do with him?
Not necessarily. 17 walks in 27 in 26 innings is pretty gnarly. Yes.
Not been great there.
But I held him where I had him. One of them's AL Towers. What am I going to do? So I just rolled with him. But I think in a 15-teamer, I use him. In a 12-teamer, I'm still like, I don't know. I'm a little wary. I mean, the Ks are there, but he's just not going deep into games. Yeah. You know, 6 starts, 26 innings.
He has home Seattle and home Cincinnati. So I do have him at 12, and I'm going to throw it and see what happens.
Yeah, I think if you have him, you throw him. Yeah,
I think so, too. What about relievers this week? There was not a, jump in your face. You need to pick this guy up right away. But are you worried about Aroldis Chapman in New York? Clay Holmes has been really good. Chapman blew a game. I think that was on Friday or I think it was on Friday. The Yankees have been very, very loyal to Chapman. Even when he struggled, they keep throwing him out there. Do you think that's shifting at all? Clay Holmes has 17 strikeouts and 2 walks across his 17 innings. Has been very good. 26% strikeout rate, 3% walk rate, 15% swing strike rate. Do you think we're going to see a changing of the guard in the closer job in New York?
I do not. And yet I was still in on Holmes because I think he's just damn good.
Yeah, I agree.
By the way, Chapman, I think it was Saturday and it was a tie game, so he didn't really blow a lead. He got the loss though. And then that one there, that was the game where Liam Hendricks came in. They tried to get him to get another 5-out save, which just isn't working this year. It has worked in the past, but
it worked really well in the 8th, and then the 9th was not so good.
Yeah. But I'm not worried about Chapman because I'm actually rooting against him. Worried is not the word I'd use.
Fair enough. How do you really feel?
Cheerleading that.
Yeah. I think the fact that how loyal the Yankees are is the biggest key here. I think they're going to keep them that. But, I mean, you look, it's only 11 and two-thirds innings. But, I mean, his strikeout rate is down 16%.
Yeah.
His walk rate is 17%. Like,
I was fading him this year.
Yeah, I was too. His swing and strike rate is down 4.5%. The only reason I didn't draft him anywhere, so I clearly was fading him too. But I just think the Yankees are so loyal to him. But it feels like there is enough here that I'm actually worried. I mean, even last year where he struggled with the walks and all that, his strikeout rate was 40% last year. I mean, that's still crazy elite. It's 23% right now. If you're gonna walk guys and not strike guys out, it suddenly gets a little sketchy pretty quick.
Yeah, and you know, he went through some crazy periods last year where he's unusable.
Yeah.
It's also his last year. You know, this is the last year of his contract, at least. So loyalty might not be as strong. There might be less reason to be loyal. Yankees are obviously a good team, but every game matters. You know, they can't, you know, the expanded playoffs, blah, blah, blah. Sure. But this is a team that's also been losing in the playoffs. And part of that is that, you know, they last year they're in the wild one game wild card. They can't afford that. They want to be winning the AL East, getting that home field. So I think that they're going to pull out all the stops when it becomes necessary. So yes, I was in on the bidding on Holmes, but I didn't get him. I mean, I actually have him in one league in the main, but he's been on my bench the last couple of weeks. He'll probably be active this week. We have him in one of our two mains.
Yeah, I think he feels good enough and they're using him in high leverage spots enough that I think you can throw him as your ninth pitcher most weeks now at the moment. Cause I think that unless you have a week where you got a bunch of two star guys and that just happened, but he's certainly the top of the list of non-closers for me that I want to use. It's like him. I like Paul Sewald a lot for a guy who's not really closing all the time, but there's a few guys in there that I'm pretty comfortable throwing as my ninth guy. And Holmes has definitely kind of reached that status right now.
Yeah. I threw a couple dimes at Diego Castillo. Came in a big moment today against the Mets.
Yeah. Steckenrider exploded and Castillo put out the fire.
But Castillo got raked earlier in the week by the Phillies. So it's not like he's totally free and clear, but this is also the team where Scott Barlow is our only closer. We have Clay Holmes in that league. We're doing well, but just we have five saves this year, including the one from Barlow today.
I feel like Paul Sewald thinks the Mets fans hate him more than they actually do.
I haven't been following that saga.
He's really upset. I guess not the fans. I think it's fun. I guess they cut him or gave up on him. And he came in twice this week and today he struck somebody out. I was like giving him the, I can't hear you to the Mets fans. I'm like, I don't really think Mets fans even know who you are. So it was, I guess I kind of like it. He's being a little petty and trying to fire himself up. But it's just weird. It's like, I don't get the feeling like Jesse Winker and the Mets fans have this thing.
Yeah. They have a history. Yeah.
Yeah, history. And like he has fun with it. I feel like Paul Sewald wants that and it's not really there. It was a very strange weekend of Paul Sewald. Thinking the Mets fans.
You don't want that Paul Sewald smoke.
Yeah, right? Like, it was just, I like to say he's a great pitcher. He's been really good, but it was just very strange that I think people think about him more than they do.
I don't know. I can't speak from either of the Mets fans or Sewald's perspective. And I hadn't noticed that actually, to be honest with you. So I missed that moment. So
was there anybody else reliever wise we're looking at? Like Felix Bautista got a couple saves this week when Jorge Lopez is out, but he's back now. Rowan Wick got a couple saves this week. He's been pitching really well too. I think he kind of besmirched Rowan Wick a little bit in the offseason. Like, how good is he? Is he going to actually close? But Rowan Wick's ERA is 1.42, strikeout rate of 30%. Obviously, David Robertson's on the COVID IL. He played catch, I think I read yesterday, so probably pretty close to getting back. Mm-hmm. Were you in on any of the relievers? It felt like it was a week where there weren't a lot of closer or even closer specs to really spend some money on.
You're right. I did get Wick in one league. Just again, I just take guys that maybe even give me a save or two. Yeah. I just thought it was interesting. It was Wick and not Givens.
It seemed like it was pretty clear. Like he had a two inning save earlier this week. And then they used him kind of a traditional role. It seemed like, and Givens pitched ahead of Wick in that first start. So it seemed like it was Wick right away when Robertson was out, which I was surprised by that too.
Yeah. I think Givens had one bad blown one earlier, but he has 20 Ks in 13 innings. So generally speaking, he's been pretty good.
Right.
I saw Bautista was available in a league or two and guy throws so hard. He has more 100-mile-an-hour pitches than anybody in the Orioles organization, I think, in the last 20 years. Damn. Something like that. I mean, he brings it. Jorge Lopez has been bringing it this year and has been good. So
he's really
good. It's never usually a bad idea to fade Jorge Lopez, generally speaking. So, I was in on him as like some secondary bids.
Yeah, he was like my seventh or eighth down. I actually got him in one of my main events just because, like I said before, I get outbid on everybody. But so we'll see. I mean, you know, it was $8 if he – maybe he slides in that role a little bit. Maybe they start sharing a little bit. If not, it's a pretty easy 80s drop there. But let's talk about offense. I feel like I'm always searching for offense this year, especially with, some of this down offense stuff. But the big prize this week, we talked about it a little bit last week, got called up, I think last Sunday, was Alec Thomas in Arizona. As I looked at offense, it seemed like he was he was kind of the bell of the ball this week. Got most bids, mostly in the triple digits in most leagues. He was 169 in one of my main events. He was I think higher than that. He was 217 in my other one where I needed offense. I actually went high and it went 187, and that was the backup bid. He hit fifth the other day, which is nice, but I just like him as a player. We've seen so many rookies fail this year that who knows what we're really going to get, but I feel like there's some legit, like really good hitter upside in him.
Yeah. Had a pretty good day on Saturday, 2 for 3 of the walk. Had his first homer this week. Hasn't tried to run yet.
Yeah,
you know that, and that's sometimes something you see with prospects is that they run a little less frequently once they hit the majors. And it's not like this. It's not like he was. It's like he's Vidal Brujan. He's been stealing 40 bags in a season. It's
no, but like he had like
20.
Yeah, he had like 13 last year and 15. Like it has to be part of his game to work fantasy wise though. He's not a 50 home run guy, but I think he's a batting average guy. I think he's a runs guy if they move him up the league. But he's got to steal those. And I don't even know what I call it. But he's got to steal a little bit, being maced to 10 to 12 bags to really work. But the profile all kind of shows a guy who's it doesn't strike out a lot, which I like. He's kind of under 20% in the minors in 2021 and this year. I think he's just a really good hitter. Hard hit rate so far is obviously a really small sample, but hits some balls hard. I think he had a couple of barrels already. I think he's got two. He has two barrels already. So I think that as I watched a couple of his at-bats, he had a nice home run to left center the other night where, I was like, oh, it might be involving the gap and just carry. We haven't seen that a lot this year. I think he actually might be a pretty good hitter. I don't know how much of a fantasy stud he's going to be, but I think he could be in a deeper league. I think he's in kind of an every week fourth, fifth outfielder for teams.
I could see it.
Yeah.
I could definitely see it. I bid on him, but not enough. I knew he'd go for over 100 in most places. One of my O-line championships, he went for 88, which is pretty nice. But in most cases, he has triple digits, and I didn't feel like he was a triple digit player. Now, I could be wrong. I was wrong about I wasn't aggressive enough on Taylor Ward. I don't think it's the same situation because it's a worse lineup and in a worse spot in the order.
Speaking of Taylor Ward, just because we're talking about him, what do the Angels do with Joe Adell? He's homering every game in the minors. Not every game, literally, but pretty much every time you look at a stat, stat line, Adell homer, and he's hit like 460-foot home runs. He had a ball at the scoreboard in Las Vegas today. His defense was terrible. Ward's playing well. Trout's healthy right now. Do you think they should let him rake in AAA? Like, I don't know. It's just a tough situation. I don't know how you handle that when he goes down there and obviously doesn't need to be hitting AAA. He's figured that out, but didn't figure out the majors at all. It's a weird – he's clearly not a quad A guy anywhere near that yet, but I don't know where he fits in for them right now.
Well, it's the defense, man.
It was legit bad too.
Yeah. There's some, I remember Patrick Sandoval start where he just took this Magellan-esque route against the White Sox. And it was costly. It was a C versus C. So it was really tight game. And the Angels were put behind the eight ball because of that. And I think it even was scored as like a hit and an error or something like that. And it was very costly. So that's why I think it's going to be a while still. I mean, he could hit 800 foot homers. I mean, granted, it's in Vegas. It's like hitting off the moon.
And it was really hot there too.
Yeah. I mean, we know he's got that. And how many times have we talked about how, okay. Yeah. The gap right now between AAA and the majors is as big as it's ever been in terms of the quality of the pitching.
Tell you what, though, poor Magellan. Like, the guy's has straights named after him. He discovered a bunch of stuff, and you're comparing him to Joe Adell's routes in the outfield.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Poor guy.
I'll go Columbus next time or something.
Guy's been dead for, 600 years or something like that?
Well, he can't argue back, Even his relatives are dead, so.
What about other offensive players? There seemed like there were a lot of guys who had been dropped in 12-teamers. We got, Will Myers. Luke Voit got dropped in a lot of places. They're both back off the IL. Kyle Lewis is coming back. What were we doing in terms of offense? Was anybody you really after Alec Thomas? I feel like it kind of just was wide open after that.
Yeah,
I looked at a little Jace Peterson playing a lot for Milwaukee, eligible at four positions, which I kind of need right now. Like it was one team where I was like, I can really use a second baseman and an outfielder, and I kind of just grabbed one guy for both spots, and hopefully it fills in there. And Rafael Ortega with the Cubs have a nice schedule. You have Sam Hilliard and Jonathan Daza in Colorado.
Yeah, it gets pretty thin pretty fast. Yeah,
it does. But it was Alec Thomas and then a bunch of names who are mildly interesting, but doesn't jump off the page. What were you doing in offense this week? Is there anybody you really, really wanted to get on teams?
No, we're in on Will Myers, but I was okay if we didn't. Yeah. We were 39 or 19, something like that.
He had a really good weekend, but he was really bad. He was really bad before he got hurt. I'm usually a Will Myers guy, kept him in the main event. I didn't drop him, so I would really like him to be good. But it was just one good weekend, and he was really bad before he got hurt.
I also picked up Travis Demeritt
in
one of my two mains. So, Pete, we'll see how that works. He's getting a lot of playing time, and he's got a little something here, a little something there. I think Acuna will probably come back this week. But even when Acuna was back, Demeritt was playing. So yeah. I think he's got potential to be useful for a while. I mean – the outfield, they've been needing that one extra outfielder for a while, Atlanta has. So I'm sticking with him.
Yeah, I mean, he had 21 home runs in AAA last year in only 81 games. I remember a couple weeks ago when he hit that inside the park home run and got a little bit of tension. And I looked at him and I was surprised. I didn't know he was quite the power guy. He's 27, has been in the minors for a while, but there's a lot of pop in that bat. If he can kind of get some playing time, I do like that as an ad.
He hit a ball earlier this week that was ball go far. It was a no doubter. I remember that.
I mean, he's gonna strike out a bunch, but you know, he could be a batting average risk. Only hit pretty well in the minors last year, but it's a legit pop in that bat.
Yeah, it is.
My favorite pickup in leagues where he's available, Danny Jansen is back for the Blue Jays. I actually picked him back up in the main event last weekend and started him because I just didn't want to risk out on losing him. We talked about him a bunch, but I liked how he finished the second half last year.
Yeah.
He was available in 65% of the 12 teamers. So where he was available, I was going after that hard because I tell you what, we talked about how catchers being bad. Catchers really awful this year. There are so many guys, like Christian Vasquez and some of these guys were like middling guys. We're like, oh, they'll be fine. But a lot of catchers have been really bad.
Talk
like,
to me about Christian Vasquez. I have nothing. Yet there were a lot of catchers I was interested in this week. Danny Jansen, and then William Contreras I was interested in for the Braves.
Homers every time they play him, right?
And he's playing. He played DH on Saturday. And there was a report on the broadcast that he's going to do more DH and maybe some outfield even too. And then finally, our ace, Christian Bethencourt, played first base today. Has two stolen bases so far on the season. Is that something you might be interested in?
I picked him up 2 weeks ago when he was kind of starting to get more at-bats, and then I ended up dropping because he had a bad week. But, I mean, he's a former, like, top 100 prospect, right? Like, when he was with Atlanta, like, he was a pretty big prospect, and then hasn't really done much with it. But
dabbled in pitching for a while. And
yeah, you look at hard contact so far. It's only 68 plate appearances, but 48%, 12% barrel rate. There's been a little bit of flash here, and I like that as a pickup, especially with the catcher eligibility. If he can get some time, you know, Seth Brown has not done a lot, and if he can kind of maybe share some time at first base there, as a guy who's catcher eligible, and there it's really tough to find him, he might be kind of interesting.
Yeah. Now I said I was interested in him. I didn't get him. Is the problem? AL Tout Wars, he went for like $69. I was like, what? I was in.
That's $100. That's $100 budget. Right?
No. It's $1,000.
Oh, okay. For some reason, yeah. I thought $100.
No, labor is $100.
Okay.
That would be insane.
Since we're talking catchers, Anthony Gialdi in the chat, did a Reg question for you. Tyler Stevenson needs a DH mostly. He's a superstar. How do you feel about that?
Well, so, and Jeff Brantley channeled that a little bit. So that the genesis for that comment is Saturday took a ball off his mask and had to leave, got dinged up. And that's had like a concussion third, earlier this season.
Like third kind of headshot this year, right?
Yeah, and he's fine. He cleared concussion protocol, but earlier this year, he had the collision at home plate against the Padres and was put on the IL because of that. And he was out. It was legit out. It wasn't just like a couple of days. He can hit. He can rake. The thing is, you know, there's no one really else that can, you know, that's coming up at catcher for the Reds. So I think, you know, the fact is, if you get a catcher that rakes, you have a big advantage on other teams. However, the Reds have 17 other holes. So, and Votto's still out right now, which is
tough. Is he back like later this week? Probably it sounds like.
I haven't heard a thing about him.
He was playing. He was in a rehab. He's in rehab. You saw the pictures in Louisville. Did you see those?
I did not see that actually.
It was Doctor Strange night. So he was wearing a Doctor Strange jersey.
Of course he was.
But he is hitting. So he was hitting yesterday in Louisville. I saw a quote from
David. Probably be back. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a joke of David Bell. I think it was on Friday saying he's going to go rehab. They hope to get him back for the Toronto series, which I think is next or is this weekend coming up. Is that right?
It is this week coming up. And
the impression I got was maybe we're looking at him. Maybe I think it was kind of a combo of getting over the COVID, but also maybe getting some rhythm. And you know, Votto was obviously so bad. Maybe they give him. They only play two games against Cleveland, so they have two off days. So maybe let him just hit for 3 or 4 days down there, and then I think he's going to be up for the Toronto series. Would be my guess.
Yep, and then they're back home next week for 7 against the Cubs and the Giants. So, we'll see about that. I know, you should be coming back pretty soon. I know Senzel is also on a rehab. Yeah. We picked Senzel up in actually a league there too because hope is eternal.
Yeah, and at some point, I like that too. In a 15-teamer, I think that he's playable if he can just ever stay on the field. Appreciate the nice comments in the chat from David. Said thanks for the show. Thanks for doing it. We appreciate that. Good question for you, Jeff. When's Adley Rutschman coming up?
Question for you, dude.
I don't know. It's just it seems I'm sure there's some playing time, service time manipulation going on here. Then he was obviously hurt. In AAA so far this year, he's only hitting 222, so it's not like he's forcing any of his hand right now. I think it's one of those things, like, as soon as he gets hot, he'll probably get called up.
I mean, he's only played 9 games at AAA. They kind of brought him, they did the progression, high A, double A, because he was actually legit hurt with a triceps injury. So I think it'll be first week of June.
I was actually going to say June 1. I think he's got 2 more weeks.
Yeah, I think that's probably it. If he gets hot, then yeah.
Then he might push
that a little bit, but.
You can't displace Robinson Chirinos anyway. I mean, it's just.
I would never think to try, Scott.
Guy's got a 30% strikeout rate, no home runs. He's hitting 141. Like, at some point, you just got to play that bat in the lineup whenever you can.
Yeah. If you want to look at schedules, they got a big homestand this week, Yankees and Rays. Then they go on the road at Yankees, at Red Sox. The question is, do you want them to debut at home? You probably do, right?
For sure. I would think so. I mean, that's their cornerstone prospect. I think you do.
And I actually heard earlier too that they want to bring him, Grayson Rodriguez, and DL Hall up at the same time. Kind of like he's been working with them together. They kind of like, okay, here's the next generation. So that often serves to delay it a little bit, but yeah, so I think we're looking still at June at some point in time because
Are the Grayson Rodriguez bids when he gets called up higher than the George Kirby bids?
They should not be. As much as I like him as a prospect, the team context is worse.
Yeah, I think we're at a spot too where teams have less fab money too. But
after this week, for sure.
Yeah, 37% strikeout rate so far in AAA, though.
Good?
That's pretty spicy right there. And he was over 40% last year in A and AA. Like, I think he's it's gonna be a lot of buzz for that. I think you're right. Maybe not be as high, just I think it's gonna be more of a function of the time of the year. People won't have his money, but I think the percentage of fab on him will be pretty good too.
And to answer Kobe Jetty's question, Grayson versus Max, I think I go Max. Again, team context matters. It's a bad way to evaluate pitchers on who's better, but we do chase wins in our game. And I think wins are going to be hard to come by in Baltimore.
Yeah. Every time I want to answer that, I look at the strikeout rates on Grayson Rodriguez and I get pretty excited, but I think I probably
that's fair.
Yeah. I go Max Meyer probably a little bit, but can I just have both of them and call it a day?
Yeah, sure. We can go rookie pitcher.
I haven't used any fab yet. So I might be able to actually get somebody at some point.
Yeah, I haven't had too many big wins yet far this year. I did win Kirby and Yogurt though, so I got that going for us there. So I got that. But
how much was that price?
It was around $315 or so.
All right, so you went pretty aggressive there.
I was aggressive. I needed it. $313. Runner up was $259.
That was the one. Yogurt was the one spot I got. I got Alec Thomas. I got him for like one something.
Oh, nice.
It was, but. A few quick news and notes. I want to ask you about a couple players at the end. We're going to go pretty quick on those though. But most of the news notes we've actually hit. We talked about Tyler McGill. We talked about Jesus Lizardo. No real timetables yet. Both of them are a little bit like up in the air with, it's not that serious, but, and obviously both young pitchers, you mentioned the velocity gainers. I think that the teams are probably, as we get a little bit further, I think the teams are pretty conservative, both those guys. Mm-hmm. Kind of a bummer. Those are two guys that really had broken out this first month, and it was fun. Austin Meadows went on the IL today. He's having some inner ear infection. It was a funny, he has dizziness and nausea. There's such a funny typo on whoever the beat writer there had put to, instead of lightheadedness, they put lightheartedness, like he wasn't taking his inner ear infection
seriously. Didn't take it very seriously.
Didn't take it seriously. Obviously, it was lightheadedness, but kind of scary there. It sounds like he wasn't playing, then he played one game, came after one at bat. It's one of those things, like, they just need to figure out what's going on, but I always hate those things. There's a little, like, if you have an injury, we know it's going to be fixed. You just never know when stuff like that's going to be fully fixed. So hopefully it's quick, because you never like to hear guys going through those kind of symptoms.
Yeah, and I've heard it called vertigo now, and that's, I mentioned this on the XM show, but reminds me of Nick Kosaski. I'm making another current reference there. I'm really good at that.
Nick Kosaski was really good.
He was.
Yeah,
his career was completely derailed.
Didn't Astros Glenn Davis have that too?
I think you're right.
And he was right, he was a masher too. Like that in the mid 80s, that dude hit 30 bombs when 30 bombs in the Astrodome was impossible.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Sasaki was actually bit by a spider, and that's what happened with him.
Oh, Glenn Allen Hill would not like that.
No. Another topical reference there.
How many 90s topical references can we have go over people's heads in 90 seconds? That was pretty good.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, you and I could really talk about baseball for a long time, couldn't we? We just have all kinds of the same stories. Manny Margot, bummer here. He was really starting to get hot. He went on the IL with a hamstring strain. We've talked about this many times. I hate hamstring strains for a guy who you want reliance on stolen bases. This one worries me a little bit. I hope it's minor, but he was someone that had been really good so far this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you go hard after Vidal Brujan if he is available?
I did not. Did you?
I did not go hard after him. I don't think he was available in too many of them, first of all. But I think he will play. You know, he's got to be able to hit. He hasn't hit yet. So that's kind of a – but, I mean, he has that 20 stolen base upside in a short period of time where he could just crush. But he also very easily could, you know, hit 070 like he's hitting right now and get sent back down. Thing is, Josh Lowe's struggling at AAA. He's striking out a ton.
Yeah, warming up a little bit over the weekend. He hit a couple of home runs, but the strikeouts, I think he had like 15 Ks his first 21 at-bats in AAA or something like that. It was crazy. Has been a little bit better, but yeah, that's one that you wonder how long they'll wait. I'm looking at Brujan. He was picked up in 20 main event leagues. The high was 68, the low was 6. So not
right.
A ton of bidding. The highest bid of 68. I think last year kind of took some people off that. And the Rays, how they move guys in and out. It's just hard to play guys in the Rays if it's not coming to one of their main guys.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Brujan, actually, he was, I think, available and not picked up in one of my mains. Yeah, interesting. That's an oversight.
And he got 44 stolen base in the minors last year. So it is someone who, if he plays and get on base, can run a lot. But you look at this week he played the 11th and the 14th. He pinch ran in a game and just, I don't know. He's playing half the time. It's just so hard to use those guys.
Yeah, I agree. Which is why my bid in the league where I did bid on him was tempered.
You mentioned Ronald Acuna earlier. He sat the weekend with a groin issue. They did call him day-to-day. It seems like they're trying to avoid him on the IL. I get the best news here is it's not his knee. There was a little bit worried. There was like some leg soreness. All of a sudden, it's his groin. So at least he avoided anything to do with anything that he's had with the surgery.
But we hate these muscle injuries, though,
yeah,
too, though.
You do.
So.
He had been stealing bases to the surprise of both of us who were worried the first month was going to be a no stolen base month for him.
Yeah, that's right. That's 100% right. So they play on the road at Milwaukee tomorrow. If he's not in the lineup, would you start him the rest of the week? Would you start him for the first half of the week?
If he's not in the lineup tomorrow, I'm probably going to be conservative and sit him with the thought that it's two games max with a possibility of zero.
Yeah, I think
that's right. If I'm in a league where I have to use him for the whole week, he's not playing tomorrow, I'm still using him.
I agree with that too.
Because you hope you get four games, and then I think the Acuna 4 games is something I want to start for the week. But in a half week where I can get the full weekend of games, I'm probably gonna send him if he's not in the lab tomorrow.
Yeah, he's probably not gonna run as much. Of course, I've been wrong about that before.
So you lock in 3 stolen bases tomorrow for sure.
Yep, exactly.
You mentioned Clayton Kershaw earlier. He is making he hasn't thrown a bullpen session on Wednesday. Seems like he's progressing in the right direction, and surprising enough, the Dodgers actually do need him to get back pretty quickly. They're struggling a little bit in the starting pitching situation right now. Chris Bryant, beginning a rehab assignment this week, could return on Friday. Obviously, that's big news considering they're home all week. So if Bryant's back on Friday, definitely want to get him back in the lineup. Jeff, we got the season debut of Blake Snell this week. He's pitching Wednesday, 59 pitches his last rehab assignment. If you held on to Blake Snell through all the ups and downs and injuries here so far in the season, would you start him on Wednesday at Philadelphia in his season debut?
I think I'd wait a week. I think I'd let him start, make one start because he doesn't go deep.
Yep.
I think I'd probably just wait a week.
I've held him in a couple spots, and that is what I kind of landed on. As I was making Fab this week, I did so with the thought that I was going to sit him at Philly just because based on matchup, depth, and first start back.
Yep. He takes over Mackenzie Gore's spot. I actually cut Gore in the league. I don't know. Maybe Gore does. I see that we kind of have tentative penciled for them to go 6-man rotation. But
Yeah, starting. Yeah, I guess it'd be so he would pitch Sunday because they play six games in a row this week. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, one of those guys can get hurt again, but Gore's been really good when he pitched.
I mean, I hate seeing like Darvish, Manaea, Musgrove missing turns because they decided to go six man to protect.
I know
Clevinger and Snell.
It's tough. It is,
but
because those, I mean, those three guys you mentioned are pretty like take the ball every fifth day kind of guys, and it's it's tough to figure it out with those other guys in there. Jeremy Pena, friend of mine, pretty much a relative of this at this point, missed the weekend. It was very disappointing to me. He was really raking earlier in the week too, but sounds like his injury is pretty minor. But then he's gonna play today. Then he woke up and he's a little bit sore, so I'm a little bit worried about that. But if he is ready to go, the Astros do play tomorrow. They're playing at Boston. Obviously hoping his lap. That's one of the ones you just checked there. John Gray back off the IL, ready to go Monday. Jeff, you own John Gray. Are you starting him home against the Angels and at Houston this week? Oof.
I probably am, and I'm probably going to hate the result. I mean, we've been whipsawed by him so hard so far this year.
Yep. I think I have dropped him. The only place I had him, I did not pick him back up. I think I'm actually sitting that one. I just don't trust those two starts at all. If I'm really good in ratios, I need some wins and Ks maybe, but like I don't think Texas is going to. They got to win those games for him to get a win. He faces Syndergaard in against the Angels. Then he faces Verlander on Saturday.
Yeah, you're talking me out of it now.
Yeah, like Texas is not going to score against Verlander as it is. So that's I think I'm sitting John Gray this week. We mentioned David Robertson, Marcus Stroman also with the Cubs, both in the COVID IL, both played catch on Saturday. Jeff, I have Marcus Stroman in the league, and he was scheduled to maybe face Arizona this week. Do you trust the fact he's going to make a start later in the week enough to pitch him this week?
I don't hold the COVID thing against him. I mean, it's just that's the way it is. That's just what happens, right?
Right. And he can come off the IL whenever he's ready. So it's
a home start against Arizona this week. Yeah, I probably start him.
I think so. Me too. I assume he's playing catch on Saturday. I mean, he's around the team, has been cleared like medically. It's just a matter of kind of getting it ramped back up.
Yeah. We played catch with a fellow COVID guy. So what are they going to do? Get each other recovered?
Well, I figure there are other teammates around somewhere in the ballpark, right? Maybe.
No, they're on the road and they were they probably weren't.
Oh, you're right. Team. They were in Arizona. So you're probably right. They're probably playing catch at Wrigley with each other, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there goes my theory of Marcus Stroman being walking around an able right now. But as long as I don't hear anything different, I'm going to throw the home start against Arizona and see where we get at.
I agree.
Last injury note, Carlos Correa starting to feel better on Saturday. Not the most quote that got me too excited about that, but progressing the right way. But it doesn't sound like it's imminent that he's going to be back.
Yeah, I don't know how to read this because at first he wasn't going to go on the IL.
Yep.
And then, sorry, he is on Tuesday, by the way. Thanks. And now, yeah, I mean, it's a tough call. Like trying to look at their schedule here real quick. Minnesota's got six games at least, three against RAs and three against the Royals, all on the road. I mean, it'd be very easy for him to, I'll meet you in Kansas City or I'll meet you Monday back home. I mean, both of those things could happen.
I mean, especially when you face A's pitching, like he's probably going to want to avoid that anyway, right? He's going to be scared of going 0-9 that series.
He doesn't want to go Logue.
He's got a little J-cap on Tuesday, a little Dalton Jeffries on Wednesday like that. I mean, that's 0-12 with 10 strikeouts right there.
Yeah, nightmare. That's just nightmare fuel.
I assume by this point in the podcast, everybody assumes that I'm joking with that.
Yes.
Couple other guys I want to ask you about player-wise before we jump out of here. Two guys, actually. I just want to kind of focus on two at the moment. Justin Verlander is 39 and just freaking dealing right now. It's pretty amazing. The career path on Verlander is amazing. He's had a couple times where we're like, oh, he's finally done. It's not there. If we're drafting, we go back in time, we know what we know about the first 6 weeks of the season. Is Verlander going like the start of the second round? Like, what are we talking about? He got some helium as it was, but man, the dude's been really, really good.
And Houston's really, really good too.
It kind of makes me ill, but yes, they're really, really good.
Early to mid second round.
Yeah.
After Scherzer, but before most everybody else after Scherzer, I think I'm taking Verlander before now.
You see Scherzer not let the person throw out the first pitch today?
Yeah, it's kind of a dick move.
Like one of those things is like, oh, he's being maxed, but like, come on, man.
Wasn't that on Friday, I think?
Was that on Friday? Yeah, I forget what it was.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, I just saw that clip and I'm like, oh, it's so
some sort of ambassador too. It's like, come on, Max.
Just... Right. I guess better than Garrett Cole, who would have left him, let him go out there and then complain about it later. But still, like, oh, it's still pretty bad. Bo Bichette, are you worried at all about the first 6 weeks at all? We mentioned the Blue Jays offense is not quite the behemoth we hoped it was. I mean, Teoscar's back now, so maybe they get going a little bit. But Bo Bichette's strikeout rate is up 5%. He has 3 home runs and 3 steals, but hit 234 after today. Strikeout rate's 25.5%. He was 19.9% last year. Hard hit rate's up a little bit, barrel rate's down a little bit, swing strike rate's up to 14%. I'm actually not worried about this, but I see some people who are worried about this. They took him, you know, fifth overall. Do you have any concern about Bo Bichette from what we've seen so far in the first 5 or 6 weeks?
This is Tales of Woe Bichette.
Good Lord.
No, you know that whole theme on Twitter, though.
I do. Yeah, Bro Bichette, and Bo Bichette joins the fraternity, Bro Bichette, yes.
Yes, he's kind of slow Bichette right now.
A little bit.
The K's bother me. Other than that, no. I think this is actually in trade leagues. I think this is a buying opportunity, except chances are his fantasy manager is married to him anyhow. Yeah. You're probably excited to get him. So yeah, we can tell you to buy low and only in the inexperienced leagues, is that ever going to happen? More often than not, you're not going to be able to pull it off. But yeah, I mean, it's bothersome that he's striking out more and swinging and missing more. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think this lineup's just going to kind of, one of these days, they're going to get going as a team and they're just going to go crazy for 3 weeks and then we're going to all forget this. I would, in a trade league, not only would I try and trade for him, I'd be pretty aggressive in trying to trade for him. And if his manager was even a little bit worried about him, I think I'd try and do what I could to get him. But you're right. If you picked him fifth overall, you're probably pretty married to him. So
yeah, and during this slump, they faced the Yankees five times, I think. They faced Cleveland, who they can actually suppress runs, and then Tampa Bay, and they faced Houston in that stretch. Guess what? They get Seattle and Cincinnati this week, back in Toronto too.
I think
it's going to be cured. Although Hunter Green, maybe they'll leave Hunter Green in for 128 pitches this time instead. Make sure they just take care of some business.
It's too bad, man. You got a kid like that. I was hoping he's getting the no hitter, but it's just, you lose that game. It's crazy.
His arm's going to fall off. It's just going to be terrible.
There's one team in the majors who's not getting up 100 runs allowed. It's New York Yankees. I don't think I would have predicted that at the start of the year. They've been pitching the ball freaking great. Nestor Cortez.
Another one today.
Yep. Awesome. Yeah, he was great today. They're really good. I know the Yankees fans are like, we'll see what happens in October, but Yankees are really, really good.
They are. The Dodgers prior to this weekend had been really good at run suppression.
Yep.
Turns out when you take away all their pitchers, though, it's hard to do that.
Are you one who dislikes the Yankees, or are you kind of neutral on them?
I grew up hating the Yankees, but I don't root for, but I don't root against that much. I mean, I the whole Boston versus Yankees thing gets overblown. I kind of just dislike both after a while.
Yeah.
I have friends on the Rays that scout for the Rays, so I like the Rays. So I'll root for the Rays, but I mean, I don't hate on the Yankees either because I like a lot of the players on that team.
Boston's in last place, Jeff. What's going on?
And with a bullet too. I mean, they're bad.
They're bad right now. They
won 3 out of their last 10, and they're just, they're bad.
I don't feel like they have the pitching to go on a crazy hot run. And that's usually you want your pitchers, they just kind of get rolling. I don't love their rotation enough to think they're gonna get really hot. I mean, it's a long season and their offense should get going, but, I don't know, 12 games back after 6 weeks is not a great start. And you've got a lot of really good teams in between too.
Yeah. I mean, they've won 3 out of their last 5. So, but they lost the 5 previous games. So that's it. Their bullpen's a joke. And
a legit joke. It's every day it's horrible.
Yeah.
Today was Ryan Brazier, who gave up 4 runs and he just got smoked. They just have nobody in the back end of that bullpen they have any confidence in. And that's a hard way to win games.
It is. They're off when they've won, they're pounding the ball. This last past week, they had games where they scored 9, 7, and 11. So they can do that. But today they lost 7-1 they lost another game 5-3 this week. So they can't win the low scoring games at all. They're starting to hit for some power again. They went through a huge power slump earlier this year.
Which is crazy with that lineup. It's just you never expected that. Last question for you, Jeff. Last question of the night. Has there ever been a team that had a more embarrassing Game 7 home performance than the Phoenix Suns?
Oh, my God.
I was at a school.
What a no-show.
I was at a school dinner tonight. I watched the first, like, 5 minutes. And obviously, the winner plays the Warriors, so I was very interested. And I was like, I'll tape this. I'll come back and watch it. I saw the score at halftime. I got a drink at the bar. The bartender was watching the game on his phone. I was like, all right, well, I'll just find out what happens. It was 62-27 when I asked him. Like, I was like, you can't be serious. Now he showed me the score on his phone, the TNT thing. They had 27 points in the first half. I have no idea how that happens.
Luka had more points at one point in the third quarter than the Suns did.
Did you see the post-game press conference? Someone asked him, did you know that? He's like, yes, of course.
It's beautiful. That's beautiful. Honesty, I love it. Both games today were very disappointing.
Boston was really good first half, and then they just ran. I think Boston's the best team. I think Boston's going to win the title. I thought that at the start of this, but they play unreal defense, and they have two guys that can get buckets when they need to, and it's still winning for them.
And they were just hitting all these threes, and Milwaukee decided, okay, unless your name's Jason Tatum, we're not going to guard you out there, and that seemed like a novel inventive plan that just didn't.
Grant Williams had more like threes with nobody within like 8 feet of him than I've ever seen in an NBA game. He was just standing. It was like a point. He missed a couple early and he's so open. I got to shoot this. Like, I can't not take this shot. Yeah. It was so wide open. It was crazy.
Hockey was way better than basketball today in terms of game sevens.
I was really looking forward to today in terms of game sevens. They were definitely Boston was good for a half and they just blew it out. But like that Phoenix game was unbelievably bad.
Yep.
Rangers won tonight in hockey, right?
Overtime, over the Pens. That was a good game.
I'm not a hockey guy, but the playoffs are great. Kobe G in the chat, Mavs Celtics final. You might have to get banned from the chat from that one. I actually do think Dallas is going to be tough. I think it's going to be a really fun series. I think Dallas is sneaky better than, and everybody now thinks they're good, but I kind of thought they were a sneaky weird matchup for the Warriors as it was. So I'm looking forward to it though. Yeah. Yeah, everybody's like, "Oh, who do you want to win?" I'm like, "You got to take Dallas because you want the home court advantage for the Warriors." But it should be fun. Game six of the Warriors series was as frustrating game as my daughter learned a lot of new words. The first three quarters, they were so awful with the turnovers it drove me nuts. I actually stomped out of the room at one point. But and my daughter thought it was really funny when I was calling people names. But it was not my best parenting 2 hours of my life. But it was fun anyway.
Yeah, well, at least they did eventually show up. I mean, the Sixers didn't show up. We got to talk about this. James Harden, what an embarrassing performance.
That was dog of a performance. What did he take, one shot in the second half or something like that?
I think two shots in the second half. But
he didn't score. Like, that's embarrassing. I mean,
And he's quit on two other teams prior to that, too. And
he had series with Houston. They played the Warriors a lot, so I watched this. He would quit. Like, when he knew the series was over, he would quit on games. And it's just like, it's just a horrible trait. Like,
a horrible legacy.
That's what people think of when they think of James Harden. Not all these years where he might have been the best offensive player in the league. They think about all the times he's quit on teams, which is a pretty bad way to go.
And blatantly. Yeah. I mean,
not even like sneaky about it. Like, you're right, blatantly.
Yeah, and I think once you have it in you to quit, the barriers to quitting becomes lower and lower every time. So, anyways, we'll quit talking about James Harden. But it was bad, really bad this
week. Yeah, it was. But I enjoyed all the baseball talk. As always, if you want to follow Jeff on Twitter, he is at Jeff_Erickson. I am at Scott Jensen. We're obviously talking a lot of baseball there. A little bit of basketball in my feed, too. I apologize for that. But if you want to talk basketball, we could definitely do that there. If you could please rate or review the podcast. Also, that goes a long way towards helping us out. Jeff will be next Sunday's we'll be back, right?
Indeed.
You're good. I never know what's schedule-wise, but I think I'm good for next tonight, too. Again, appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate all the comments in the chat. It's really fun to see that people are watching us live and enjoying this. I know it's late on Sunday night, so we really appreciate that, too. Other than that, hope everybody has a great week, and we'll be back at you next Sunday night. Take care.